that has come as a result of this miscommunication?
I think the tension has come up because of, certainly because of the policy, and I think the students would certainly like some sort of input and to hear, to have a dialogue with whether that's Vice President Knorr or whether that's Chancellor Easter or some Provost Wheeler or others, whether that's with them to discuss why these increases, these inflation increases are, whether they might be necessary at this time, you know, whether it's an appropriate amount, similar to the discussions that they have on other fees. So that's my sense of that they're, you know, they would like to have this discussion, and I don't think that the students, I would not say that the students would be, I don't think the students are saying, no, we are going to disagree with any increase in fees, but they're saying, we would like to sit down and maybe talk about this, and there's a possibility that we could have, whether it's a different increase or no increase or, some sort of different policy, and I think there's a desire for that dialogue to occur. Okay. In a representative group.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Maybe I just ask the President, Chancellor, Walden, again, is there a significant issue if we delay this to the next meeting?
I don't believe there is.
What's that?
I don't believe from my perspective that there is.
I
don't think so either.
Okay. I think at this point I might recommend withdrawal of the item with communication to the Senate executive team that we're respectful of them. We want them as full partners. We enjoy their input. They need to be more timely, and we intend to, live up to the commitment that the group made back in 2006. But we'd like to explore their concerns with how the money is being spent. That's.
Do we need a motion?
What?
Do we need a motion to withdraw?
No. It can be withdrawn.
If there's no disagreement.
If there's consensus of the board and the president, it can be withdrawn.
Is that all fees or just these two?
Just those two.
Very good.
That sounds great.
And then Trustee Montgomery will be down there soon to discuss.
I'm sorry. So we are going to act on the rest of them, on the item. Then what we ought to do is move with the other ones, move 10, and then we'll need a motion to amend or a friendly amendment, either way, to specify for the record which two won't be part of the action. We don't have time to rewrite the item right now.
Right. I mean,
so we do need the process of amending it.
So you need a motion to.
You need to move the item, and then someone needs to move to amend it. And if the motion to amend carries.
Okay, I would move to remove the items.
So you have to move the item, not to remove it.
All of it. And then someone. I move whatever you want me to move.
Move for passage of item number 10.
Somebody has to move it, and then we're going to reject the move.
Yeah, I think we should, just to be clean. You just have to move the passage of item number 10.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Now it would be in order for someone to move to amend.
I move
number
to amend.
10 to remove, to delete those two fees, the AFMA assessment and the library IT assessment.
So moved.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you. Second.
And now that motion to amend needs to stand for a vote. All in favor of.
So the first motion does not require a vote?
We're amending it. You deal with the motion to amend first. So now we need to vote on the motion to amend.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. It carries. So now the item as amended stands for a vote.
Mr. Oliver voted nay.
Okay. Are we clear? So we need now the item as amended with those two fee assessments out, stands for a vote. The main question, as amended. So all in favor of item 10, as amended.
Aye.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
There you go.
All opposed?
Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Oh, two.
Okay.
Sorry about that, but.
No, I thought that was very helpful. So as for the rest of the votes.
I'm glad we postponed on voting on the assessments, but for the next board meeting, can we come up with some sort of policy or a decision on how to figure out assessments in the future so we don't have to keep repeating this? Or to ensure that all three campuses follow a similar procedure when it comes to voting on fees and assessments, because I believe assessments are different from fees.
Yeah.
So they follow different procedures, and to make sure all three campuses follow the same procedure and there's communication on all three campuses to ensure we don't have to keep doing this every year.
Great idea.
Hear, hear.
Okay. Tim?
I had a couple other questions on different items in the regular
agenda. Sure.
Hopefully quick. Number one, art and architecture policy, 0.5%. Is that a set in stone kind of thing, or is that a goal to which we aspire?
I think that becomes the standard.
Yeah. Okay. as close as we can approximate.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 1A, the tuition, how should I say, the philosophy change in the tuition. I applaud the simplification. Just one quick question. I remember the previous meeting with ex-president Eikenberry, him mentioning there were numerous different rates of tuition for different degree programs.
Inflation rates.
Is there going to be implicit in that idea an attempt to try to simplify that?
I think today we're just saying this is what we want you to do. Go back and do it.
Okay.
And then come back with us to us with a policy.
And then on item 15, I just needed a little clarification that the board is not in any way surrendering fiduciary control. To cite an example, for instance, the Police Institute, decision was made to close that, and then that decision was tabled because of possible other funding sources. But am I correct in understanding item 15 would not allow an academic group to block the closure of such an institute if the board deemed it was necessary?
I don't believe we're ceding any authority that
because
we currently
if,
have.
I mean, if
but
we did,
Tom,
we
maybe would, you'd respond to that. Or
we would lose our charges as being fiduciarily responsible for the university.
I don't read it that way unless Vice President Rao does. I don't. That's not the way I read the item.
Okay. Okay. And I'm sorry, that's probably a very remedial question, but I just want to make
sure.
No,
it's a good question.
Before I made the vote. Thank you.
To be clear.
Thank you, Tim. Are there any other questions, any other discussion? We have a motion to pass the remaining items.
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Who was the second one? Mr. Sosa?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
To do what?
What?
All of them?
Everything but 10. 10's already been.
I vote yes with the exception. Well,
we're not there. We're not there yet. That's my fault.
Okay, the next session is the next session is the roll call agenda, and these are the items that specifically require a roll call vote where we'll go around the table. We'll vote individually by trustee, but we'll try to attempt to do this on the entire collective package. Of course, if anyone would like to vote uniquely on any one item, we can arrange for that as well. Michelle, would you mind reading out the items on the roll call agenda?
Yes. Number 16, approved project for Miles Square Health Center, Chicago. Number 17, purchase recommendations. And number 18, authorized settlement in Desrochers v. Vitello, MD.
Is there a motion?
Roll call. Maybe I do roll call.
Excuse me.
Well, no, but we need a motion in
a
second.
Motion
time.
First.
Second.
What did you say?
You made a motion?
I move that we accept the three items on the roll call agenda.
Second?
Second. Second.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Okay. Would you
All
call
right. Mr. Estrada? Mrs. Sarah?
Aye.
Ms. Holmes?
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy?
Aye.
Ms. Kahn?
Aye. Aye.
Dr. Koritz?
Yes. Aye.
Mr. McMillan?
Aye to all.
Mr. Montgomery?
Aye, with the exception of 18,
Thank
with respect
you.
To which I abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Oliver?
Yes to all.
Mr. Olivier?
Aye to all.
Governor Penn? Mr. Soso?
Aye to all.
Ms. Strobel?
Aye to all.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. And now I'd like to invite up a great friend of the university, the president of the University of Illinois Foundation, Dr. Sid Meason. Sid, will you join us? Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Is the microphone correct? Good, thank you. Mr. Chairman, trustees, President Hogan, all those in attendance, thanks for allowing the foundation to come in and make its annual report. I know that we've had a great day. Karma has been with us, as I announced last night at our dinner. But with that in mind, what I'd like to do, given the fact that you have a copy of the report that we have prepared for you, let me just be a little bit more informal and just say what I'd like to do is first just highlight where things are with respect to our Brilliant Futures campaign. Secondly, talk a little bit about how we did last year in terms of private support from individuals and corporations and foundations, and do that in a way I'm talking about both new gifts and new grants and new bequests that were recorded, which we refer to as new business, and then also talk about what we refer to as cash flow, and that is actual gifts, actual pledge payments, and also realized bequests that have come in. So let me do a little bit of that, and then I'll just highlight some things and then take any questions that you might have. If I could have the first slide, please. This is chart one in your report. What this chart basically indicates is where are we with respect to our progress on the Brilliant Futures campaign. As you recall, the silent phase of the campaign began July 1st of 2003. We had a kickoff on June 7th at Navy Pier in 2007. And as of today, we have a little over 11 months remaining to go as far as completing the campaign in terms of its timeline, which is December 31st of this year. As you can see here, our overall goal for the campaign was $2.25 billion. As of the end of calendar year 2010, we're almost at $2.1 billion, 92% of our goal, with at that time about 88% of the time remaining to finish that. We feel good about where we are in the campaign, obviously, and I'll highlight this a little bit later, that we think, given the run rate that we've had, that we are going to be successful in our campaign. However, we also have recognized that because of kind of the serious economic challenges that we've had over the last several years, and also with the leadership transition of the university, that certainly, I think, may have hindered our ability to raise even more money in private support in this campaign. That said, you can see where our Urbana campus is. Urbana is almost at the point of achieving its goal, and I know yesterday there was a press conference on the Urbana campus, and where the ADM Corporation has committed to a $10 million gift to be paid over 5 years in support of a new ADM Institute for the prevention of post-harvest loss. And so that, with that number, we are going to clearly go over the goal. You can see where Chicago is, and for Chicago, because of the transition in chancellors, moving from Sylvia Manning to Paula Allen Mears, we are thinking about possibly extending their portion of the campaign a little bit beyond this calendar year. Springfield, I think, is moving along nicely. We are in a transition there as far as seeking a new chancellor. We're a little over, right now, we're a little over $25 million. And so we're hoping that Springfield's going to hit their mark. So you can kind of see where we are with respect to the Brilliant Futures campaign. One thing I do want to point out is that, you know, in our campaign, we've had a number of very significant large gifts. And at the beginning of the campaign, in our donor pyramid, we had identified that in order for us to be successful in this campaign, we needed at least 45 gifts of $5 million or more. I'm pleased to report that as of the end of December, we had 50 transformational gifts of $5 million or more, which totaled over $658 million. So all gifts are important to the campaign, but clearly it's the large gifts that really champion the donor pool, and I'm pleased to report that. If I can go to the next slide, please.